middle calf.
Hey, hate.
Hot ham summer. Here we go. We are deep in it now. Actually, we got some OTAs this week. Somebody, I don't know, Bill's making them work in New England, so we still got football this week. And, you know, one day we're recording this on a Sunday. One day soon we'll be coming off football games on a Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. But
not everyone gets to go home early, guy. Not everyone gets to go home early. Go to Turks and Caicos or Tulum or wherever the hell all these people that I follow on Instagram go. It feels like they're having a lot of fun in Tulums of the world. That's me and you are just, you know, swinging our pick here.
From what I can tell, it's where the NFC West goes and does deals between the Niners and Shanahan taking all his guys last year. And then, you know, McVay meeting Stafford down in Mexico. It's the NFC West does deals in Mexico.
Yeah, it's
I'm sure
rich and famous people. The rich and famous people I follow and just babes all go to Mexico a lot. I feel like several times, like I would go to like a pizza joint. There's like, I'll go to Tulum for the third time in Q2. It's like, Jesus, God, you guys go to Mexico a lot.
Be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thanks, wheels up.
You know, some of these people, you know, it's just must be nice. You know, must be nice. You know, I claim to like unfazed by what other people are doing, even on Instagram. Sometimes you think like, God, these people look like they're having a good time.
Well, that's the point,
right? Am I not living? Yeah, it works. You know, they don't show you the hungover morning or the day when, you know, they get scolded by their boss for missing 3 weeks for being in Mexico.
Or the and having 15 other photos that didn't make the cut for the selfie post.
One thing I do feel pretty good about, I know in my career of posting photos, like the photo either works or it doesn't. Like I don't take like more.
Like, well, you know, to me, you take one and you go, this is not going to be a post, and then you move on.
Yeah. I ain't getting 17, you know, poses to try to get the perfect shot.
You're like, well, yeah, I guess those are my chins. I mean, we're going to roll with it. That's usually how my discussion goes with myself. Like, oh, well, I don't think we can take another and change it. Yeah. So
I like cheeseburgers.
You're like, you're that pale. That's just nothing we can do about it. No filter's going to help.
No.
This
SPF.
This is a big, 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 big week. In fact, if you are watching this live on YouTube, the link to the Haberman and Middlecoff 200-person DraftKings game is available in the description. If you're listening to this, you know, the podcast, the link's in the description of the podcast. So you can go get it either way. The game is up, John. The U.S. Open is here. Get in our DraftKings game. Sign up with the code HAM when you do that.
I just reserved my spot, guy. I just reserved my spot. There are 20 people already in, guy. 20 people. It's been up for, what do you think, 5 minutes? 20 people.
Yeah, already, maybe eight.
Boom! Rocking and rolling, baby. It's the U.S. Open. I can't wait to actually gamble on some of these individuals coming up and build my team. Already have my team in mind, actually.
It's a hell of a... The most expensive player is healthy John Rahm. So get in the DraftKings game with us. It's in the Haberman and Middlecoff League. If you have not been on DraftKings before, great. That's all the better for us because then you can sign up with the code HAM, John. When you sign up with the code HAM, not only can you play in our game, you can play deep NBA playoffs. You got baseball going on. Right now, DraftKings offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball playoffs, offering players a free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes. That's $10,000 in total prizes up for grabs each day. And again, the best part is, sign up with code HAM, and all of that is free to play.
I'm going to tweet out the link. You'll tweet out the link. We'll put it on Instagram. We'll put it on YouTube. It'll be everywhere. I know some people are like, where's the link? Where's the link? We're going to do it for our game. Download, and the way you get in it, you download the DraftKings app now. Use the promo code HAM when you sign up to get a free shot at $10,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball playoffs. Head to DraftKings Pools page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code HAM when you download the app for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for full details.
All right. We also have, so you can play along there. You can also play along mybookie.ag promo code HAM1. Mybookie.ag promo code HAM1. Well, they'll match that first deposit up to 50%. They'll match it 50% up to $1,000. You can also decline the bonus because you have to bet the full amount before you can withdraw funds. But either way, use the code HAM and the number one so they know that we sent you. And again, ton of NBA. And anybody stand out to you from a golf perspective this week?
Well, I think we'll probably do a deep dive maybe on Tuesday, but I'm just going to throw three names right now. I am going, what My game plan was to put $150 on Padraig Harrington, have him place top 10 at this random tournament, use that $500, put it on Xander Schauffele at 20-1, because I think Xander's going to win. Padraig missed the cut, so now I'm out $50. Also put $50 on Jason Duffner to kind of spread my... He missed the cut as well, so I have to reload some cash. I like Xander, guy. 20-1. When you look at the crew, 20-1 or better. The Rahms, the Brookses. This guy's from San Diego. This is his home turf. I follow him on Instagram. He's been at Torrey for 2 fucking weeks, just playing around in the rough, playing around with shots, playing with his caddy. This guy's Super Bowl guy. Xander Schauffele, 20-1. I think he wins it. Shane Lowry, he was top 10 at Memorial. He was top 5 at Kiowa. He's an open champion, so he can play in tough conditions. This course is really long. It gets windy out there by the coast in the rough. 65-1. This guy's playing good golf. Now, is Shane Lowry going to win it? I don't know, but whenever his top 5 bets comes out, usually around Monday or Tuesday, they'll have the top 5, top 10, top 20. I like Shane Lowry. The other guy with Xander, that's just, we learned our lesson at Kiowa.
28-1.
I'm not. But I do like him to top 5,
we're
top
10. We're talking about Tony Finau finished second at the Farmers Insurance, John, which was at Torrey Pines. Xander finished T2 also. But
we'll get into his beef with the big golfer, but how do you bet against Brooks Koepka when the shit matters? You know, people were like, oh, he shot, his knee hurts, and then he shows up at Kiowa and he's right there with Phil in the final group. Like, don't you expect him to be a factor at this thing?
I absolutely expect him to be, because he wasn't even at his best, I didn't think, in Kiowa, right?
No, he easily could. If it wasn't for Phil Mickelson, the dude's a champion.
By the way, Phil's 40-1.
Yeah, Phil had a hell of a run. I think this is a... this is a celebration of Phil this week, but I don't think he's going to compete to win it. But I think Brooks, I'm going to put my money on Xander. I don't think you can go wrong putting some cash on Koepka. I think you feel pretty good about it. And I think Kiowa was a lesson for everyone. Like, this is a dude. Like, I would just bet on this dude when shit matters and the money is big.
You and I were talking about this the other day. Like,
he's won 2 U.S. Opens,
guys that
remember.
Win
two.
The guys that win majors, guys that win any golf event, the guys that are competing in the top 8, like, those guys are playing at their best usually, right? They're playing their best golf for those 4 days or 3 days, but whatever it takes, they're playing their best. And their best is like 7 or 8 strokes better than what they normally are. But the great players, that's not the case. Like, the great players, Tiger's best means he kicks your ass. His B game means he still probably beat you. And Brooks is in that category, right, where Brooks' best game could still beat you. And that's, I think, what's scary after watching McKeel. He did not feel like he was at his best, even close to it. And he was still right in the mix.
Do you remember the U.S. Open we attended, Pebble Beach, pretty sweet U.S. Open? Gary Woodland won the U.S. Open.
I do remember.
You know who was right there? I mean, right Brooksy. There on 18 was Brooksy. Like, this guy is just a factor. He's 16-1. You know, you just want to sprinkle a little cash there. I feel you'll be in it the whole time. Same with Xander. I mean, Xander, the difference is Koepka wins. Like, Xander has never won. He finishes top 5 in all these U.S. Opens. And maybe there's so much pressure on this hometown, even though the difference, like, Rory had a nation behind him. I don't even think San Diego, like, anyone recognize him. Like, Phillip Rivers is 100 times more recognizable in San Diego than, like, Xander Schauffele. So it's a different type vibe down there in the SoCal, the, you know, golf community. But I like those two. MyBookie.ag, promo code HAM1. As the week goes on, too, anyone that wants to gamble on this, top 5, top 10s, top 20s, they'll have matchups. They have a ton of props that'll come up, you know, by within the next 24 hours if you listen to this.
Well, the number one betting prop they could have is a first-round matchup of Brooks and Bryson if they're playing together, which here we are in the U.S. Open. And I said this to you last week. If they have intentionally not put them together so they could save them to put them together on Thursday at the U.S. Open, then I will applaud whoever's in charge of the pairings for waiting, because this is about as splashy as it could get. You could put them together at the Masters. That'd be huge. You could put them together at the Open. That'd be cool. You could put them together at the PGA Championship. They didn't. You put them together at the U.S. Open. I don't think, again, the Masters is as massive as it gets, but here's where the U.S. Open to me, John, is even bigger than the Masters for the purposes of this. People don't walk into the Masters and last very long screaming and heckling players. This is
not
a different
allowed.
Environment.
The patrons.
And so here, I think is this would be the ideal place to put them together. It is a golden opportunity for golf. I know. What do you think the PGL would do?
Well, Bryson's the defending champ, right? And skip a year, Gary Woodland, Koepka had won two in a row. So according to my math, just Fresno State Cal Poly guy, the two of them have combined to win three of the last four U.S. Opens. Like, that's... they always say, the U.S. Open, toughest test in golf. Tough. Even the Masters is the most prestigious. This is the hardest thing to win. They've won three of the last four, these two guys. And now this beef, they hate each other, whatever. If the USGA... I took a couple edibles on Friday night, and I was watching MLB... I love MLB Network, because they always have sweet games on. And they always... Like, if DeGrom's pitching, they show his game. And I'm watching DeGrom, and it's awesome. And he's just mowing them down. And it's like they're throwing Bob Gibson stats up there, and then all of a sudden the sixth inning comes. It looks like he's going to throw a complete game, you know, one hit, like shutout, yank him. Now, it turns out he felt a little something, but my first reaction is like, what are you doing? Like, this is awesome. And I immediately change the channel, and I tweet out, you know, these sports, no one wants anyone to get hurt. But if you're in golf, basketball, baseball, you're in the entertainment fucking industry. And to keep your most important thing you can do right now is interest and eyeballs and attention. Now, DeGrom, if he feels, I don't blame them for yanking him. But we see it with the NBA, that they don't care about the consumer. During the season, they're always yanking stars, and it's just, it's crazy. The USGA here has a BP fastball. It does not get any easier. Now, I would imagine if you ask both these two individuals, do you want to play off camera? Because on camera, I bet, yeah, I'll play with them. I don't care. Off camera, probably say no. I think you don't even listen to them and you pair them together. What are they going to do? Boycott your tournament? Like, they're playing. Can you imagine if Tuesday when the pairings come out, like, they won't be, it'll have like an NBA, like Kevin Durant type beef. Like, it'll be one of the biggest stories in sports.
You mean Kevin's return to Oklahoma City?
Yeah, not just Tuesday and Wednesday, but then you get to watch them play together on Friday, on Thursday and Friday with all the people screaming Brooksies, and Bryson can't get really mad because Brooksie's standing right next to him. It would be, you don't even need to like golf that much to know like this would be a big fucking story for 4 days, right?
Yeah, I think with the difference between this and any other sport, like your DeGrom example, is even if DeGrom's not hurt, the Mets might have pulled him out of the game. And their prerogative 100%. Is, we got to win the game. We got to win today. The big picture, right? The way the game is played, I think it's one of the major problems with baseball. Your number one stars are your power hitters and your star starters. Well, now everyone's hitting home runs, and your star starters are marginalized because everybody's doing tandem starts or whatever, right? So those are some primary issues for the game. But there's so much that's out of your control in the game, right? You can major league Rob Manfred could be like, call the Mets, like, DeGrom's got to start. It's Sunday night baseball, bump him up. And the Mets would be like, no, bye, not an option. And he wouldn't do it because it's stupid. You couldn't start him on short rest because it's Sunday night baseball. And then the Mets could go, you know what? We're gonna start DeGrom on Sunday night baseball. Our owner wants Sunday night baseball. It's gonna be huge. He wants DeGrom pitching. We're gonna move him up. And then DeGrom can give up seven runs in the first inning. You take him out of the game. The beauty of golf is you put them together. There's no, like, well, after four holes, DeChambeau's withdrawn because he's out of the thing. He's going to the bullpen. They just have to play together. No matter how it looks, it's a story. If they both play great, amazing story. If one of them plays bad, great story. They both play bad, great story. Whoever the third person is, what's going on in their head, great story.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Patrick Reed.
Everyone's going to want to hear from that guy.
Yeah, it's and they should actually do Kisner, because Kisner's pretty public about his distaste for Bryce. But the point is, it's in golf, you are so in control of everything. In basketball, you know, it's... KD and Russ, and then they might never go face to face the whole game. They might never guard each other. They might never say anything to whatever. They're just, you know, once the ping pong balls, they're like little flies bouncing off the walls. You can't control it once the game starts. Golf's different. Like, they're standing right there on the tee box next to each other. There's no.
Well, think about this. When we do a big deal over the NFL schedule release, and rightfully so. Partly we need the content, and two, it is just kind of cool.
I was thinking we missed an opportunity the other day when the preseason times got announced, John. We should have known.
Oh, gosh. We already know the games, right? We already have the home and away games. We literally just find out what week they play. and depending on the time of year, what network they're going to be on. But as we've learned the last several years, that's not even guaranteed if it's past the flex deadline, right? Shit gets changed all the time.
Right.
If I told you, hey, Roger, there is no first place schedule, you guys can do whatever the hell you want. Can you imagine those guys mixing and matching? It'd be like Cowboys, Patriots, Cowboys, Packers. Like they would just set up their sweetest Russell versus this guy.
Some quarterback gets hurt on a Tuesday, they change the game.
Wait, can the Tom play the Patriots four times this year? Like they would just try to do the sweetest matchups. This is, your sport is gaining a ton of momentum. More people than ever are playing. Anyone that plays public golf courses knows right now. We played last week in Pleasanton at a public course, cool course. It's Wednesday afternoon. It's fucking slammed. Slammed. I mean, that's insane. I've been playing public golf now in the Bay pretty consistently for 5 years. For like the three leading up to Corona, I could always sneak out Tuesday, Wednesday,
no
Thursday.
You would not even have to think about making your tee time early.
Well, not even that guy. If I did run into people going slow, if I was playing by myself in a cart, I can just jump around the course. You couldn't even envision jumping around a course now in the afternoon. So people, what happens when people start playing? Well, they watch the best guys play. What's the biggest story in the sport right now? These two guys. Now, I'm not expecting them to do that. I'm not a 100% no on it. I think there's like a 10% chance because there has to be one guy in the room being like, do you understand how big this would be if we do it? Now, maybe they want to talk to these guys first. I do think it would be, if it ever got out that those guys declined it, I think it would be pretty chicken shit because, again, the whole thing would be then kind of fake.
Yeah.
And that's what I think some players are starting to allude to. Like, it's kind of BS. Like, they're kind of hyping it up. Well, that's fine. If you guys are hyping it up, then play together. Are you expecting it? Like,
no.
What percent would you?
10%.
Would you be?
Yeah. Maybe. I think they're going to miss this opportunity. By the way, I was just looking at our DraftKings game. Tradition unlike any other. Haberman screws it up somehow. $10 entry instead of $20. How devastating is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever.
First place pays $450. Second place.
I mean, it's too late now.
God, this happened. I can make a second game.
We tried to rush it a little bit. Whatever. It's fine.
All right. I was hoping to see like $800 for first place. You know, that's where the heat's really at. But if this was like...
You can't be in a position to rush the game because there are a couple things you have to click. And if you just click,
I did it. What happened was I went back to double check that I had the right game because I've done that mistake before. And then when I came back, I had to reset everything and I didn't change the dollar amount. So it's a $10 entry. So whatever. Maybe it'll fill faster. All right. Onward. God, I'm kicking myself right now.
You only get four of these shots a year. You know, you got
it. Mostly because I know I've disappointed Middlekoff.
My team, I'm not.
If this game fills by like Tuesday, we could make a smaller game with a bigger buy-in.
I mean, a 200, I'm cool with it.
All right. Let's listen to something Kyle Shanahan said, John. Kyle Shanahan was on Tim Kawakami's podcast, The TK Show. And they talked about a bunch of stuff, including Kyle's big press conference the Monday before the draft, which I went back and I peeked at some of that thing today. But some of the stuff that we said, not some of the press conference.
And remember, he was a late addition. It's only mandated the GM. And then all of a sudden it was announced, I think early that morning, Kyle will join John. And people are like, this is a little weird.
And then Kyle got
then
on.
Then it turned into the Kyle show a little bit.
Yes, it was Kyle's telling everybody he's drafting Mac Jones. I can't believe he's telling everybody. So yeah. Tim talked to him about that, but that's not what we're going to play. What we're going to play is a question Kawakami asked him about arm strength, and more so than arm strength, making NFL throws. And I thought what was interesting here, John, was what Kyle said about the biggest difference between Trey Lance and the other quarterbacks. Obviously, we're always talking about Jimmy when we talk about comparing Trey to somebody else. So let's take a listen to what you'll hear some of the questions, then you'll hear Kyle. Take a listen.
But some of it also, you know, wanting to push the ball downfield. I mean, it's been well chronicled that they haven't done a lot of that with Garoppolo. You know, get the ball outside the numbers, maybe, you know, maybe threaten the defense on the edges a little more than you have. Was that part of the thinking, like, you want a quarterback who has the skills that you really can be able to move the ball downfield like that?
I mean, I do believe Jimmy has those skills. From a throwing standpoint, I think Jimmy can make every throw. But I think, you know, the obvious difference is when you have a quarterback who is a run threat. And that's not against Jimmy. That's against all the quarterbacks that we have. And, you know, there's some guys who can scramble and stuff, but there's also some guys that you can actually put design runs for. And when you can do that, or you have the threat of it, which anytime you're pretty much in shotgun or anytime you're in a pistol formation, the defense has to count for them. And when you don't have that, it's 11 on 10 football. And what I kind of like about the thought of having a quarterback who can attack that way is it changes the defenses you're going against. And sometimes it can make it a lot easier on, you know, the O-line, the receivers, just some of the looks that you get, because sometimes there's two guys in the middle of the field. Sometimes there's one. But when you got to account for the quarterback, you got to use that guy. There's never an extra guy. And that actually helps a lot more looks down the field.
Okay. So there was Kyle. I think one thing too, you know, earlier Kyle had complimented Trey Lance for how he stays in the pocket. So when we talk about athleticism with Trey and Kyle Shanahan, of course we should know this, John. The stuff that excites Kyle more is the stuff he gets to draw up for Trey than the stuff that Trey just does on his own, even though he likes that. But what did you think? That he identified, he said the throws, the offense I can call in terms of throws is the same with Jimmy. It's the leg stuff that's different.
Well, if you remember when he described, not the press conference that got out of hand, and I didn't even think got out of hand, that the media just thought that it was Mac Jones, and I think we both kind of disagreed with them, but the original press conference, when he was just talking about the trade and what you look for, is that ideally you'd want Drew Brees mixed with Lamar Jackson, right? And I was, because I was thinking about, like, one of the you know, golf accounts, probably of my 1,000 people I follow
Zire
on Instagram, maybe
golf balling,
yeah, 45 of them, you know, maybe 15% of them are golf related. It was the Tiger Woods winning, you know, 12 years ago or 13 years ago at Torrey Pines with a blown out knee. And I was talking to a couple people that were like, you know, I thought he was overblowing it. But then, you know, the news came out later that week. I was like, whoa, he was really, because I think most people are like, God, is he kind of playing this up?
Right.
And I'll never forget texting one time with Hunter Mahan over Corona about Tiger. And he said, the best thing about Tiger is that he was the best at absolutely everything. Like every element of the sport, driving, hitting cuts, hitting fades, chipping, irons, long irons, short irons, putting. He did everything better than everyone. And I was thinking about it actually today, driving home from my mom's house, that Tom Brady is not the best at everything, right? He's not even close to the best athlete. Like, and he's the, you know, arguably the best quarterback. I mean, he's the best quarterback ever, his resume. But he's by no means the most agile or athletic, right? Listen to the Steve Young book. It was just like the guys in the history of the league that do Lamar Jackson, even Josh Allen's and Mahomes are much more mobile than him. So he's not like the perfect player. But ultimately, that's why we wanted Trey Lance or Justin Fields, anyone, like the whole country did for Kyle, because it's like, why would you pigeonhole yourself with someone that you know right away? Like, you can get by with being a pocket quarterback. And that is always going to be mandated for success, right? Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
But part of, like, what makes Aaron Rodgers, who I think of his era, the last two decades, it'll be like Peyton, Tom, and Aaron. But one thing that Aaron had that those guys didn't, and really, I think you would, you know, Peyton, you know, was basically Drew Brees on steroids, right? Just pinpoint accuracy, but he didn't have a great arm. And like Tom, he couldn't move. Aaron's ability, like some of Aaron's greatest moments as a player were fucking kind of backyard football, right? And then when he would make the throw, it would be the accuracy of Peyton or Tom. And it was like an unstoppable play. And that's where I think Mahomes has a chance to be like the Aaron Rodgers, I wouldn't say on steroids, but like maybe on creatine, right? Like the better version of Aaron almost, which is just, we've seen, it's an unstoppable player. And that's why, ultimately, with Trey Lance, I think Kyle's realizing right away, and this is why I think he wanted Trey Lance the whole time, because go back to that Lamar Jackson comment. Obviously, Trey Lance probably is not going to be, he's not Lamar Jackson. Like, he's a 4.5 guy. Lamar, I don't know, is like a 4.2 guy. And I do think Lamar's a little more agile. Like, Lamar's agility, and
he's
as we call it in the business, COD, change of direction.
I always thought
you remember
COD
Michael Vick
used to be in East Bay. It'd be like the East Bay catalog. It'd be like COD. And I was like, well, I don't know what that meant. Like credit on demand, or it meant something else in shipping. Payment.
Oh yeah.
Right. It was always I was like, what? It was always like an East Bay catalog. I was like, what the hell is COD? I don't know. But
it's like the extra payment they throw on DoorDash now. But ultimately, my point is like Mahomes. Let's even look at Josh Allen. Really, what makes Josh Allen so awesome, at least this last year, and I think what the Bills hope he's just going to be moving forward, we already knew he had a big arm. Then he kind of got accurate. But what he really brought to the table was like this Cam Newton athleticism. It's like you can run quarterback power with him. He can keep plays alive, rolling to his right, rolling to his left. It becomes ultimately like a large, maybe not a large percentage, but a percentage of your plays. Let's say you call 60 plays. And, you know, for Kyle, I was going to say 35 of them are passes, right? So it's like 35, 25, maybe even like 32. Like in Kyle's perfect world, it's probably like 30. At least 10 of those, the play is not going to work or something's going to happen. Maybe one of your players falls. Maybe they call the perfect defense. You know what the knock on a Cousins is? Or the guys, Matt Ryan, like the guys that were always associated with Kyle, and I think Matt's the best version, then the Cousins and the Shops, they cannot make plays off script. If it's on script, most of Cousins' touchdowns are happening like good play call, sweet Justin Jefferson or Thielen, awesome pass by Cousins, but it's like they ran it in practice, works in the game. It's not like him jumping up over a defensive lineman, 360, fucking bullet across the middle. Whoo! Like, that's what, I don't know if Trey Lance is going to do that one day, but he definitely has the physical attributes to do that.
Yeah.
And I think Kyle's probably got to be thinking like, this guy can bail us out. Where Jimmy actually has a little bailout, but nothing like the potential of this guy's bailout. You need bailout, guy. You need bailout.
No doubt. But when I hear him talk there, what he's saying to me is, you know, because you and I have talked about this a lot as it relates to Deebo Samuel as an example for the offense. Ideally, Deebo has as many catches or more, plays healthy, has more catches, and some of those are just down the field, over-the-top throws, not so much Deebo Samuel having to run through traffic to get 9 yards where he's taking hits. And some of what Kyle is kind of saying there is, yeah, I mean, we can throw down the field, but I can kind of do some of that stuff already. But it's that maybe when I do that quick pass to Deebo or Deebo on an end around, he takes less hits because the linebacker who would otherwise just chase Deebo to the edge has to wait to make sure that the quarterback, Trey Lance, isn't keeping it, because if he does, he's going to go for 15 yards up the gut. Like, I think that's what he's thinking about here, I think, in part, is like just the added level of play calling that he gets to have, the added level of chess that he gets to have. And he said it makes it life easier for the offensive line and for the receivers. Like, I think that's part of what he's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you just put Mahomes in his own category, if you can just find some combination, and obviously this is an elite player, but I mean, ultimately when you trade this many players, of Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, right? Of, you know, I think he's more mobile than Josh Allen.
You sound like
Allen.
Every kid coming into the draft or like filling out his bio in college. Like, what's your game
like? But that's what they're hoping for, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
I handle it like Kyrie, but I shoot it like, you know, pick the best.
It's why people hated Mac Jones. Like, who's Mac Jones' comp? Hey, he's like Kirk Cousins.
And Tom
the
Brady.
Pushback from and I think Kyle's pushback even always is like, you guys are acting like Kirk Cousins stinks.
Yeah.
Like, he's like one of the best players on a team that goes to the playoffs like 3 of the last 4 years. But that's not the way we think about it. Because if you say that, you're like, ooh. What? Ooh.
Yeah,
what?
That's why I appreciate
that. Honestly, if I told you, and we talked about this on our last pod, I think in the mailbag, if I said that Trey Lance just becomes Cam Newton, that's really good. But I think most people are like, he can't be better than that, right?
Yeah, because you're like, oh, I want a little more consistency in the throw game. You know,
do you agree with that? Yes. If I said that's his comp, yes. Cam Newton, people be like, oh, you know, it's cool.
Well, how many years has Cam been in the league? He's on another team.
Yeah, but he was on his team for a decade.
I know, but
multiple contracts, Super Bowl.
I know.
Right now, what I
but
would
they
you
were
say,
not consistently
MVP,
true Super Bowl
Pro
contenders.
No.
So, I agree. I
with
think
a great
you would want
with
more.
A great defense.
I think you would want more. By the way, a few people in the YouTube Excalibur says cash on delivery is what COD meant. Skillet said collection on delivery. So does that mean that like UPS drivers used to be going around like waiters, like handing you a thing, and you'd like They'd have to have a bag on, a little zip bag on them, and coins and change. And we were asking a lot if that's what that meant.
I know.
You could just order it from the catalog and then pay when it showed up.
Do you know what it also shows you? Is that I bet if you ask parents, they would know. That wasn't our money, right? Anything we bought in 1999 or 2000 from eBay, we were fucking kids. We just use our parents. You don't even think about it. Now, like, every time I order a DoorDash, like, what are these seven? What's that? Do I still need to? I need to tip him? I mean, he's charging me $17. It's like, you always question it. You know that, but when it's not your money, you don't give a shit.
Like, well, the Haberman's
up. Yeah, things like,
you want to order some pizza? Yeah, we'll drive to Papa Murphy's and get one.
People on YouTube, smash that like button.
Yeah, smash that like button. Good call. John, let's welcome, by the way, our friends at Decked. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Decked. This shit's sick.
These are our type people.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that in the ad, yeah. But this is pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Go to decked.com/ham right now. Decked.com/ham. If you own a truck, you know what it's like to have your stuff rattling around in the cab, under the seat, what a pain it could be to keep organized. But not only that, having everything in the truck bed, it's unsecured, it's exposed to the elements. That's why for your truck, you must get the Decked drawer system. Right now, you and I did this the other day. We went to the website, ton of fun to look at. So many great options there. Decked drawer system at deck.com/ham.
Each of Deck's two full bed length drawers can carry up to 200 pounds of whatever you got. Deck has a true 2,000 pound payload capacity. I mean, guy, think of what you could throw in there. We were on the call with Deck, people from the company. People use this for tailgating. Think about that. Throw your grill, throw some ice, throw some booze out there.
You fill the drawers with ice, John, and then you throw all your, your hard claw, your white claw.
How about this one, though? The Decked drawer system is one, we love this, 100% made in the USA and backed by a 3-year no hassle warranty. 3 years. And we were told they've never turned anyone down on a warranty. With a second to none customer service team ready to roll and answer any questions whenever you. And we know our people are driving trucks, farmers, construction workers. You guys are our people. Get on it. We're here to help. Put it on your company.
They also offer a full line of segmented storage organizational accessories like various toolboxes, bags, cargo tie downs, and other handy items made for maximum efficiency of both space and time. What you mentioned, the 2,000 pound payload, that means you can put your four wheeler right on top of the Decked drawer system and it holds. It is very sturdy, made from 100% recycled materials. Over 7,000 reviews, John. They have a 4.89 out of 5 rating. That is, I think, basically what we are on iTunes, but with actually way more reviews. And there's all kinds of non-traditional ways you can retrofit it with electronics. Like I said, fill it with ice. It fits every full-size truck and cargo van made since the mid-90s and every mid-size truck made since around 2005. So, stuff.
No big deal.
Go check it out. Go to decked.com/ham right now. If you're listening or watching, just check it out. I think we've got the link in the YouTube and on the podcast. It's just the kind of thing you just need to look at. The way you used to just look at eBay catalogs or Eastbay catalogs?
Yep.
Just look at them and dream and find something cool. Decked.com/ham. Decked.com/ham for free shipping. Decked.com/ham. Welcome to the pod, Decked. Proud to have you on board. Great to have you.
Yes. Support them, people. This is the company. You're in that line of work. Check it out this week. Decked.com/ham.
If you're in the tailgate and drinking line of work, too. All right.
Yeah.
So one thing we want to talk about today is D'Amico Ryans, because Mike McDaniel talked about him when he spoke last week on, what was that, Wednesday? After the Niners canceled OTAs, the Niners' new offensive coordinator, Mike McDaniel, still talked. Again, I'll say it. He's a gem. D'Amico talked, I think, a couple of weeks ago. Kyle Shanahan on Tim Kawakami's podcast talked about D'Amico as well. In a day and age when Sean McVay's having every offensive play caller on his podcast, is D'Amico Ryans flying a little bit beneath the radar?
Well, if D'Amico was the equivalent, not the equivalent, if he just was an OC, not a DC, I think he'd be a much bigger story in the league. He finished playing in 2015. He's a defensive coordinator in 2021. When I was with the Eagles, we traded for him, and he immediately became our team captain. We loved him. Now, part of the reason he was available, he had torn his Achilles a year before, a couple years before. He wasn't the same player. When he came into the league, he was Defensive Rookie of the Year. But like the vibe around him just immediately spread. He's like one of the highest level guys in the league. It was like he was just like that was the type of guy you wanted around on your team. Honestly, spoken about like a Patriot. Like that's the way people thought of him. And clearly, like, look at who likes him, Kyle. Right? I mean, it's just but everyone did. I mean, Andy loved him. That's why he wanted him. And part of it was like we didn't think we'd get Luke Kuechly in the draft. Needed a middle linebacker. Obviously, Luke Kuechly, I think, went 8 to the Panthers. So we made the move before the draft. And I just remember he got in there and everyone loved him. And he ended up playing for the Eagles for like 3 years after the torn Achilles. And we know when we saw Navarro, a torn Achilles for a middle linebacker, it is a tough injury to overcome. I would say for, you know, guy, especially the way the league is sideline to sideline. But one thing he mentioned on his press conference, rewatching it the other day, I was watching it for the first time because that was the practice we went to, was like he knew he was going to be a coach at a pretty young age, which most players, and again, this guy, I Wikipedia'd it, like when he got his second contract, but you told me he was the 33rd pick in the draft. So yeah. Like when you're the 33rd pick in the draft, you know, he got a $3 or $4 million contract. He then signed another contract, I think in 09 or 10 for like, it was 21.8 guaranteed and $50 million contract. But it's a big NFL contract. He was thinking about being a coach, and he was that level of a player before that, right? SEC Player of the Year. We just don't care. I mean, we do, because we talk a lot about the Niners, we care. But, like, the league as a whole, in terms of buzz, if D'Amico Ryan was Ryan Fitzpatrick, or just who you insert quarterback, because that's equivalent what he was, like, as a middle linebacker, right? Like, if Luke Kuechly just became a defensive coordinator, which he easily could, it'd be a big deal. But if the Luke Kuechly equivalent was a quarterback and became an offensive coordinator, wouldn't that be one of the biggest stories in the league, right? Who would Luke Kuechly's be like Aaron Rodgers or something? You know, it'd be nuts. It never happens.
Yeah, let's just say, like to me, when a McCown became a high school coach, it was a big story.
If Phillip Rivers became a head coach.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's a perfect comp for D'Amico, but let's just say Carson Palmer is the offensive coordinator for the 49ers.
How big of a story would that be if Carson Palmer was just the offensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll? Wouldn't that be a fucking massive story? But I think this would have been a much bigger deal, like in the 90s, when it was just like, run the ball, play D. Because like the defensive coordinators were the stars. Now it's just the, like everyone's like, tell us more about Kingsbury. Like they don't even, but that's just the way the league is. But when I just was thinking about it, it's pretty nuts. This guy stopped playing in 2015, and he's a defensive coordinator. Like, that's a pretty, we talk a lot about like rises, fast rises. Like it took Kyle 20 years, right? Started coaching immediately after he was done playing, like 01, 02.
Yeah, look.
D'Amico just boom and going.
He became a defensive coordinator faster than Mike Vrabel became a defensive coordinator. Remember, Vrabel went to Ohio State. Vrabel's last year was in 10 with the Chiefs. Then he goes to Ohio State. Then he's the D-line coach at Ohio State for a couple of years. So he's at Ohio State for 3 years. Then he's the Texans linebacker coach for 2. Then he's their DC for 1 year. And then he becomes the Titans head coach. So it was a very fast ascension to head coach and a pretty fast ascension to defensive coordinator. But D'Amico has gotten to defensive coordinator faster than Vrabel. Vrabel's a big deal. Vrabel was not as big a deal when he was the defensive coordinator either as if he had been a former quarterback turned offensive coordinator, I would say, right?
Agree.
Now, Vrabel as a head coach has become a pretty huge deal, and part of that is, you know, he's a Bill guy. I think that also adds to it. But
He won, right?
And now he's won. That's absolutely huge. But listening to Kyle Shanahan with Kawakami, I hadn't really thought about it until I heard Mike McDaniel say something the other day, because Mike McDaniel was in Houston with Shanahan when they drafted D'Amico. They drafted Mario Williams in the first round, then they drafted D'Amico Ryan. Both of them said, McDaniel the other day and then Kyle on Kawakami's pod, that when he came in, he immediately became their leader on defense. And McDaniel made the point, as our Mike linebacker, as a rookie, he became the leader on defense. Well, guess what? He was the rookie of the year. He was a pro bowler. He was an all pro by his second year. And Shanahan said initially they kind of hit it off because Kyle was only 27. So, you know, both young. Obviously, D'Amico's a rookie, but Kyle's a pretty young coach on that Houston staff. And I thought the most telling thing he said was that his nickname in Houston was Mufasa because he's wise. But he's not you know, a look at me type leader. That's probably not a fair thing to say. He's not an overly, you know, loud leader. His nickname was Mufasa, like, you know, Simba's dad in The Lion King, because he is he is, you know, almost, I don't know if you use the word noble leader, but just he leads by example, obviously very bright, obviously a good communicator. You have to be all of those things. But what Kyle said was it was obvious that he would be the replacement for Salah even, you know, a year or two ago. Like, it was clear. Kyle was pretty straightforward with Tim. He said this: he's going to be a head coach sooner rather than later. Like, that's what he thinks of him. Like, so he's talked, to your point, like, we haven't really talked about him this way. You and I have talked about D'Amico,
From 17 to 2020, that's how fast it became for him to be Kyle's defensive coordinator. That's pretty nuts.
Because right? Kyle doesn't, this is not Kyle's side of the ball, first of all. Right?
He was a quality control guy 4 years ago.
Now he's on an island.
Now again,
he's not
coach.
He's not Kyle's offensive coordinator where Kyle can help him. Like, he's on an island. Like, you can promote Mike McDaniel, quote unquote, before he's ready to be an offensive coordinator. And I'm not saying that's what happened, but ultimately Kyle calls the plays, right? Even Mike McDaniel said the other day, my role hasn't changed, really.
No.
I have a new title.
I bet Mike's been doing powerful shit for Kyle since he was like 25, right? Clearly he goes around with him everywhere. I bet he's like, yeah, actually, when I was a quality control guy, you know, they used 7 of my plays in a playoff game. I bet, you know, you get some of those information. Where D'Amico, it's just, you're getting yelled at by Kyle to fix it or do something different, but ultimately you're doing it, right? He's the head coach of the defense.
Comment on YouTube, Leftwich. This is Jim. Leftwich probably the closest comp. Yeah, what was so Leftwich finished playing in 12, started coaching quarterbacks in 17. That is a good comp. It does feel like it's a matter of time before he's a head coach in the NFL. Maybe he's the Bucs' next head coach. I don't know what that 5-year was. What was he doing in that 5-year window? But the bottom, that is a good comp. That's another example.
Yeah,
as good of a pro as
never
D'Amico
was a pro. Yeah, never was a Pro Bowler. Never was an All Pro. Wasn't Rookie of the Year. You know, was a high pick.
It's hard to find these comps, and I would say that maybe comp's not the right word, but that's as close as you can get. Maybe. But the point is, you and I have talked about this before when he got promoted. Like, if their defense looks like Robert Saleh's defense looked for a couple of years, then he is going to become a head coach very quickly. But I mean, Kyle Shanahan basically said as much.
And here's the other thing, that the comp is not exactly perfect, because Leftwich and Arians, clearly he's letting him call the plays now, but his head coach is a play caller at his core. So it's like, you can collaborate. Like, ultimately you can collaborate with Kyle, but he's never been a defensive play caller, right? And it's like, well, I need Kyle. It's like, well, he's in the offensive meeting right now, right? It's just part of the, like, Leftwich and Arians are probably always next to each other. Like, I think it's pretty unique.
Yeah, I'd be interested if we talk to Byron Leftwich, like, does he do anything differently than Arians would? Whereas, as an example, and he probably does, but one thing Kyle said about D'Amico was that he thinks D'Amico's going to take more chances than Robert Saleh did. His joke was Robert Saleh never lost money gambling because Robert Saleh doesn't gamble.
Well, think about this, that because Robert Saleh's not a blitz guy. D'Amico played for Wade Phillips, who was a defensive coordinator in Houston, who was a much more aggressive defensive coordinator. Now, I actually think the comp for a backup quarterback to become a coach makes a lot of sense. What do backup quarterbacks play a big role in? Helping the coach and the starting quarterback game plan. They
spend their game on the sideline watching closely, right?
It's probably a pretty smooth transition. I bet Byron Leftwich is like, you know, actually when I was working with Roethlisberger, we did a lot of this, and Arians when he was the assistant coach. Like, I felt like I was an assistant coach even though I was a player on the team. Right? D'Amico is more, it also shows you the power of the NFL. I say this all the time, that, like, I think in a lot of businesses, you can control a lot of your own outcome. It's not like, well, this guy worked for, now I'm not saying people connection, like this guy was he worked for this manager at this sales job. It obviously helps connecting, but as a player, and same as a scout, same as a coach, like Mike McDaniel just getting to get with Kyle, me getting I got to work for Andy Reid for 3 years. Byron Leftwich just played for the Steelers when Arians was the offensive coordinator, right? D'Amico Ryans played for the Texans when Kyle was there. Like, there are things, like, as a player, you just, obviously, you don't control who drafts you, but you have no control over what coaches are there, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like that offensive coordinator becomes fucking Bruce Arians or Kyle Shanahan. Changes your life if you want to get into coaching. It really does. It's pretty freaking incredible. Like, the Belichick has multiple guys, multiple Fresno State people on the staff. Moses Cabrera's their strength and conditioning. Cole Popovich, I think, is their offensive line coach. These
former
guys,
Fresno
when
State
you and me were
lineman.
At Fresno State,
he drafted Logan
was offensive
Mankins.
Lineman and the strength coach. Like, that shit, all the connections, like, obviously, the Saban and the Alabama, that matters. But it's out of everyone's control, but ultimately, the web is formed. It's this weird, I have a weird fascination with it.
You go with what you know first. You trust the people you know.
But it's like, Leftwich, let's just say one day we go down as Leftwich, like, God, that guy became one of the greatest coaches to ever be a former player, right? He just goes on to be a star. He'll probably say, like, the luckiest thing I ever did was, like, Arians was my offensive coordinator. We became buddies. Changed my career.
Yeah.
Right? But what if he had worked for Freddie Kitchens or something? And it had just, now he played.
He might have survived. He might have been on the next staff.
Yeah. But you know what?
I know what I'm saying.
Like, what if you just get into these situations where.
Well, absolutely. That's why, we were listening to the Flying. You and I have both been listening to the Flying Coach podcast with Schrager and McVay. And at the end, they ask each guy for his advice. And they're always like, you know, work hard and do. It's good advice. But it's like, every guy that's been interviewed has all worked for McVay. Like, they've all worked together. That hasn't hurt either. Like, let's not pretend like that's a non-factor.
If I was an offensive coach, if you ask, hey, Middlecoff, what's your advice? You want in the league? I would do everything humanly possible to get on the Rams or the Niners staff. It'll change your life. Because, like, okay, get in the league. It'd be awesome to work for the Bengals. More than likely, those guys are all going to get fired. And a couple of them are going to have to go back to Kyle or McVay. Right? Do whatever you have to do to get with Andy. Like, that'd be my advice.
Good advice.
You might have to take less, but just get in the web, and it'll change your life. It'll change your life. As a player, it's definitely out of your control. But I would say this, like, deciding if I was an agent, if you and I ran an agency, and we had a bunch of backup quarterbacks, I would be heavily, like, listen, we could probably make a couple $100,000 with Freddie Kitchens, but Sean Payton wants you.
Well, remember what we always talked about with the Chiefs. Like, it behooved Mahomes' agent to let the Chiefs know who liked Patrick and who didn't. Because getting him to Andy Reid was the best thing he could do.
Yes.
All right, well, you know, since we talked about Byron Leftwich, let's talk about this, John. PFF put this list out over the weekend. The best offensive play callers. The best offensive play callers. Here's their list. Number one, Matt LaFleur. Number two, Brian Daboll. Number three, Andy Reid. Number four, John Gruden. Number five, Joe Brady. Number six, Byron Leftwich. When you sent me this list, my first reaction was, there are guys that belong on this list, but you could legitimately argue five of them belong on the list. Like, that five of them don't belong on the list. Other than Andy.
If I called every general manager, including Roger's best friend Gutekunst, how many of them would list LaFleur over Andy Reid?
Well,
would there be one?
If we just polled all the offensive coordinators in the league, would Andy be the only guy that would every guy say Andy?
I mean,
if you asked every play caller, so you asked 31 other offensive coordinators / head coaches, make your list. Would every single one of them put Andy Reid in their top six?
I mean, how would he end up on a list any lower than two on any human's list?
He wouldn't end up behind Brian Daboll. You know what wouldn't shock me? Honestly, if it was a coach, I wouldn't shock me if Gruden was on some people's list. Like, McVay,
yeah,
he gets enough of
been
the...
Fine.
He gets it, but I'm just saying, like, I think it's not just, like, I think... Current coaches probably, McVay, those types of guys, right? Don't look at their offense today so much as they just think John Gruden, 20 years, they think he's a really good play caller. I think he gets that.
Well, I'd argue it's more impressive what Gruden has done with Derek Waller and Ben Aguilar than anything you fucking did with Aaron Rodgers. He had multiple MVPs and a walk into Canton's Hall of Fame career before you showed up. So, like, listen, it's hard to coach Michael Jordan, but Phil, like, influenced Michael's career, right? Like, your offense is important, and I give you credit. I actually like Matt LaFleur. I think he's a good coach, but I under no circumstances, as a play caller, like I would not put him above either of his two guys. Like, to me, he's in the crew of Kyle and McVay. To not have Kyle and McVay on your list to me is insane. But to not have Sean Payton on the list is even crazier. Like, if you talked about Pold and Andy, Sean Payton would come up with every single person. To me, Sean Payton and Andy have to be one and two in some order. And to me, I'd have Kyle three. Because I was thinking about this. If we did a quarterback draft, or I mean a coach draft from scratch, I do think there would be some GMs. Like, in some offices, Andy might go first. Because, like, you know, I see Bill now in quarterback roulette. Like, I've seen Andy in quarterback roulette. He goes to the playoffs. Like, I've seen him go to the playoffs like seven different coach or quarterbacks. Like, Bill, and I think Bill's the greatest coach of all time, but these next couple years are going to just define, like, could just make him like another level elite. But right now, like, I know if Andy has to work with, you know, Russell Wilson or Josh Allen, like, he can coach any type player. Kirk Cousins, he'd be able to figure it out. Like, we're going to find out with the Patriots, but it doesn't even matter. They're not even on the list. But my point is, like, Sean Payton, same thing. I shook my head at the list.
Well, here's the other thing. Like, if we're going to give, you know, Joe Brady, first of all,
would you put Andy number one on the list?
Yeah, to me, Andy, you're Sean Payton. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
The thing with Sean, I mean, honestly,
like, they've been doing it so much longer than Kyle and Sean.
It wouldn't shock me if after this year you would put McVay. I think McVay's going to come out swinging this year, doing things he could not do last year and hasn't been able to do. It wouldn't shock me if you redid this last year if McVay was number one. I'd probably put Andy number one, even though, you know, sometimes you could argue it gets a little pass happy. But I love him. I know you love him. But, like, if you're going to give Joe Brady, first of all, I'm not Joe Brady LSU. Like, that's not part of this conversation to me.
No,
so, okay.
That doesn't count.
So, didn't have McCaffrey, had Teddy. It was fine with Teddy. I got to give Shanahan credit for quarterback musical chairs, and they were just kind of in the mix in games they had no business being in the mix in with some of the guys they had at quarterback. The John Wolford thing for McVay, I think, is a McVay flex. And again, McVay and Shanahan's best qualities are not last year. And I thought in some ways you could point, if we're going to point to Teddy Bridgewater for Joe Brady, then we got to point to last year for those guys.
Well, I got a name for you, and he's a polarizing name with the individual fan base, because when you have him, you're like, can he expand the offense? But in no world could you put Joe Brady, if you're basing it on the NFL, ahead of Greg Roman. Greg Roman, I've seen him now, multiple quarterbacks have dynamic playoff-level offenses. Say what you want, Lamar Jackson, I don't know, won the fucking MVP, and last year, like, the second half of the season, they started dominating again. Would anyone in the league... Now, his offense, I understand. Like, I'm more pass happy than I am run happy, but Lamar's our quarterback. He's tailored an offense that, I mean, is pretty damn good. If I'm Greg Roman, like, wait, you're putting Joe Brady out of me?
He's done it multiple times with multiple stops.
Yeah, Joe Brady, where do they draft? How many games they win last year? How many touchdowns they throw up? What are we talking about here? Like, LaFleur, you're really just nitpicking, is it, you know, the chicken, like, chicken or the egg? Is it Rodgers or him?
Yeah, but with that, you would argue Aaron got better once he bought in, right?
Yeah.
Not better than
LaFleur credit.
Yeah, he gets credit.
Would any general manager take LaFleur? And it might not even be proven right. Like, maybe LaFleur goes on to have this career. His winning percentage is really high. Do you think people would choose him over Kyle or McVay?
You know, it wouldn't shock me, like, if some people did, but I do. I think he would finish third. And if we just everybody got votes, I think he'd finish third. It wouldn't shock me, though. It would not shock me.
And I'm not.
He has dominated.
Blowing those two guys. Yeah. Well, Rodgers dominated this year.
But I'm just saying, he has been the head coach of a team for 2 years, and they have, what have they won, 26 regular season games in 2 years?
If Rodgers got like traded and he won, and he went like 10-7 with Jordan Love, I'd be like, yeah, he's got to be.
Here's the other one. How about Stefanski?
In no world can you put Joe Brady ahead of Stefanski. Remember how good the Minnesota offense was 2 years ago, and then the Baker? Yeah, I forgot about Stefanski. I kept thinking, like, who are some other?
You always disrespect the Browns on this show, but we got to give Stefanski his credit. So
yeah, I like Stefanski.
I think, I mean, to the point. Oops, I made this thing way too big. I think I'd even have Stefanski might be in my six. Shanahan, McVay, Peyton, Reed, Stefanski. That's five. Am I missing somebody?
Roman's been doing it a little while.
Yeah, Roman. I mean, Byron, like, you know, it's hard because it's Arians and it's Tom.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't bring up Josh McDaniel either, which, again, we'll see this year if Cam's... Like, Josh McDaniel could have a kind of a flex year this year with Cam, if Cam's healthy.
Well, if Arians was still, quote-unquote, calling the plays, he would 100% be on this list, right?
He would. I think by that token, you got to give Byron Leftwich his credit if you'd be giving Arians credit, right?
Did, 33 picks 2 years ago.
Jameis?
Yeah. That's on his watch.
Yeah, but he threw all those... Didn't he lead the league in touchdowns?
No.
Just in picks?
He led the league in yards.
Oh, see? We had to play a certain way, John. I can't go out there and throw the ball for him. How about Daboll? Yeah, would you have Daboll on the list?
I think he's proven to be pretty good. I think he's, competing for a top 10. I don't know if he's top 6. He's good. I mean, their offense was fantastic. And I do give you credit, non-head coach, right? Like, if you're Andy or Sean Payton, like, you're just the head coach. Like, you're good, right? You're making $12 million. Everyone knows you're good. When you're the coordinator, like D'Amico, on the opposite side of the ball, on a team where the head coach is on the other side, right? Brian Daboll runs the offense. It's not like, well, maybe Sean McDermott. No, Sean McDermott's the defensive coach. That's impressive. It's always why Bruce Arians, like, wherever he went, they scored points because it was Mike Tomlin. He was always Chuck Pagano, working for defensive head coaches. It was his baby. You're like, that guy's fucking good. So Brian Daboll, I watched him this year. They were throwing up points. Like, big time.
And I'm not saying Arthur Smith should be on the list, but if Joe Brady's on the list, shouldn't you have to consider Arthur Smith?
To put Joe Brady on the list, again, like him, follow him on Twitter. I saw he just got engaged. She looks like a beautiful woman. I'm rooting for Joe Brady. I think he's a cool guy. I like his energy. I'm a Joe Brady fan, basically just based on LSU. In no world could you consider him a top 20 NFL offensive coordinator, I would say, right now.
And he could take a huge leap with Sam Darnold if that works.
I'm betting on him. I'll bet on him. But based on the 1 year, no, we got a slower roll there.
Salem PFF. Salem on YouTube says Kyle is number one or two. The whole league is following his lead. Kings of Kings says Middlecoff can't wait to crap on Gruden.
I gave Gruden credit. I said he'd be in the list.
Ray says Niners Saints game from a couple years ago alone puts Kyle and Sean in the top three. So
you're right. I think McVay could have a big, big boy.
I think McVay is going to come out kicking ass and taking names this year. Or at least
he's gonna try. You see his comment the other day that he had to backtrack really fast that he wasn't trying to take a shot
at Goff,
where they asked him like either Les Snead or someone said, maybe in his press conference, like, they say you've been looking a lot happier this year. He's like, yeah, I've been a much, much happier offseason. Like, wouldn't you be? And then he had to, like, obviously the way everyone's like, well, I mean, clearly why he's happier. And he's like, that was not a shot at Jared Goff. Like, listen, there are unsubstantiated rumors that Goff said something about his fiance, Veronica, who's a good follow on Instagram.
If they're unsubstantiated, should we be repeating them here?
Yeah, but they're well out there on the internet. Okay. My point is, he has said enough. If you did respect the human, right? If you just like the way I think Kyle respects Jimmy, it's why he always kind of tiptoes around even when he's mad. Sean McVay is to do what he's done over the last 7-8 months, and the way they've said same with Les Snead, you would have to lose some respect for a human being. Because Sean McVay would not, like Andrew Whitworth, let's say, right? He would never, ever, even as Andrew's slipping and he's really not that good anymore. I like the guy, but he's kind of stiff. He's just holding on for dear life. He would never say those words because he respects him too much, and rightfully so. At some point, to lose the level of respect Sean had for Jared, something had to be. It wasn't just he's not good at football. Because we've seen enough not good at football players where the coach respects the guy and they never talk about him like that. Don't you agree? Like, it's a little like, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, it made me wonder, is there a work ethic issue? Because we know that Sean works his ass off, right? It got worse. Like, it was on a certain trajectory and then it got worse, right?
Yeah. My point is, even the ups, who knows what was, like, if something was said that if you're Sean, girl, not even about a significant other, just as a human being, you're like, I fucking hate this guy. That's what feels like something happened along the way.
Yeah, it might have, but I do think that the way, the degree to which McVay had to almost play with one arm behind his back by the end, if it was as simple as he's just not good enough, that's one thing. And it could have been that. But if you add to it, maybe I don't think he's working. I don't know this. I'm just saying there's a scenario where.
See, but someone told me that they think that's definitely not the case. They saw Jared. I mean, he's not like Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, but it's not like he was showing up to work at 8:30.
Yeah, well then, okay. But I think McVay came to, I think based on the way he inhibited his ability to call offense, he became extremely frustrated with just the player. I'm not saying that other stuff didn't happen. I'm just saying you could justify just his frustration based on the level of play that he was getting.
It was bad.
But then he came out right before the trade, like a few days before the trade, right? He basically ripped him. Like, he's got to be a lot better. I don't remember exactly what several, the words were. But.
Several, to me, he's ripped him enough that it's like, I've been following this league pretty closely. No one else does that. To even guys they hate. It'd be like, Jalen Ramsey on the way out. They're like, yeah, we just didn't see eye to eye. Good luck to him. It's like, well, he hates all you guys. You know, it's got really ugly. It's just not, it was weird. I don't know. Something's weird.
You're right. You're right. John, let's tell the people about Indeed. Indeed.com/ham. Indeed.com/ham. You're the hiring expert for your company. What you really need is help making your short list of quality candidates. You need a hiring partner who helps make your life easier. You need Indeed.com/ham.
Yep. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring easy. Indeed makes connecting with the right people, the right talent, very easy. Here's a key, guy. To have a good business, to have a successful business, to have any a two-person business or a 500-person business, you need the right people. It's not about the walls, right? It's about the people inside those walls. Not about the buildings. It's about the humans. And that's where you get it, hiring, using Indeed. Because, guy, according to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all their job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job, thanks to us, Indeed.com/ham. Get a $75 job credit at Indeed.com/ham, Indeed.com/ham. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
With Indeed Instant Match, over 80% of employers get quality candidates as soon as they sponsor their job post. Indeed.com/ham.
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on 2 or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game. And I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. Oh, the places ground beef from ButcherBox can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about ButcherBox for years. high-quality cuts of meat. Amazing value. Find high-quality seafood as well that you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping, always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham. Code HAM.
Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone. Go to your iPad. Download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert? Get outside. Enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account. And use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
Oh, okay. This is quick. Speaking of people saying things about people. McVay style. How about Mark Murphy? I love any time a team executive or representative says something at like town hall meeting. It's like, oh no. What did he say at a town hall meeting? Or like, oh, he was talking to the Kiwanis Club. It's like, oh God, what did he say at the Kiwanis Club? You remember the thing with the Mariners
Seattle
president?
Mariner, yeah.
Like on
this
a,
guy's a this guy's a little
I
different
know,
than
and
that,
I don't
though.
Think he said anything he regrets, unlike the Mariners.
He
guy.
Played in the NFL. Like this is not
I don't think he said anything he regrets. I just love anytime you read a quote where it's like, it wasn't on a show, it wasn't on Dan Patrick. He said it at like a booster meeting. It's always like, all right, he was loose, what'd he say? I'm often reminded of Ted Thompson, as most of you know, just a great general manager. And often he talked about Aaron, that he's a comp, and it wasn't just Aaron, it was a lot of different players, but he would say, he's a complicated fella. So I'll just leave it at that. It's a good quote.
I mean, I don't think he's wrong, you know. Maybe you're at the point, like, are you just going to completely kiss his ass? My whole thing
not address
is,
the situation?
I think it's pretty simple, is that there has to be some sort of sit down between Gutekunst, LaFleur, and Aaron Rodgers. Murphy's not a part of it. So that is where he, unlike, you know, most team presidents that aren't football related, he definitely has carryover, right? He is much different than any other NFL team president, I would say, that isn't like family. Like, he ain't just dealing with the sponsorships. He deals with Gutekunst and LaFleur very, very closely. But to me, to fix the Aaron Rodgers relationship, he has nothing to do with it. Unless part of the Aaron wants him gone, which honestly wouldn't totally shock me. It kind of feels like Aaron thinks that him and Gutekunst are out to get him more than, like, LaFleur. Which, LaFleur's smart. You play the friend card. You're like, I'm with you, Aaron. I don't want to.
Good cop.
I don't even want to coach this guy. Yeah. Ask Devontae. I've been telling him at OTAs that you missed. I was like, I'm all in on you.
Devontae
guys.
Texted me. He told me he saw you guys giggling by the soda machine.
Well, it's like, I got to pretend to like Jordan Love. It's a tough predicament you're putting me in, Aaron. Yeah. Just come back. We'll trade the kid.
Yeah, I mean, look.
But lie to him and then not trade him.
Murphy could be some of the muscle behind Gutekunst, right? Like, hey, man, you do what you got to do. We got you. Organizationally, we got your back. We are choosing you.
Yeah.
I would have.
Well, someone DM'd me. A Packer fan, like, how could we fire Mark Murphy? And I heard Andrew Brandt, when I was driving around the other day, was on with McAfee and told them, because McAfee's like, how's this work? And he's like, basically, there's a board of directors that if they turn on you, like, they can get the coach fired or the GM fired or me fired or whoever, Murphy fired. But when you're winning and things are going well, they immediately say yes, right? So anything the team wants, the board of directors just gives them the go-ahead, like, hey, because he's like, whenever I was signing contracts, I didn't have to call the owner. They're just like, yeah, if the GM's cool with it, you just do what it, you just sign him. And Ted, obviously, he trusts his guy. Well, think how much the board of directors have had a relatively easy job for 30 years. All they do is win. They've had Aaron Rodgers and
Who
Brett Favre. It hasn't been like, I don't know how they get elected, but they clearly, if I was those guys, you would just want it to keep on rolling. I'd be like, yeah, just fix. I believe in you guys. Like, why wouldn't they have trusted Ted Thompson or Mike Holmgren or now LaFleur and Gutekunst? Like, fuck, couldn't go any better. We're all printing money. Yep. It's working. Yep. It's where not having the owner in this specific situation, I would say the Favre thing too, looking back, it brings a little more clarity. Like, things can drag on when there's not, like, I mean, we see it in the country. There has to be one fucking voice. If some people are going to get uncomfortable, whatever, there has to be a specific voice.
The buck stops
with a household, a company. There's just, like, someone has to make the tough decision. Let everyone complain. Who gives
you would say this historically, they've actually done it, right? The Favre-Rogers thing. Somebody did. Which, if you were on the board of directors then.
They just told Ted to do it. Yeah.
You would trust them to do it. Like, wait a second. Why is everybody acting so surprised? We did this with Aaron. It worked. Does everybody remember that?
Yeah.
You know, it's not like any organization's trying to pull this off. It is these guys, this organization.
Well, why do you think, like, as things got pretty weird, they probably like, yeah, we're not going to get rid of Ted. We don't want to fire Ted. He made the greatest transition, I don't know, in like the history of business transitions. He's like, yeah, we should go with this other guy. They're like, that's Brett Favre. Like, yeah, I'm telling you to do it. And then it went about as well as possible. Within 2 years, they won the Super Bowl. Think about that. And Ted is, if you met him, he was kind of a weird cat.
Complicated fella?
He was an introverted former player, but he didn't look like a player. But once you make that move, even if you're like, God, I can't really communicate, you wouldn't even care. You're like, this guy's just a genius.
Yeah.
You know, this guy is. Ped, whoever you want, you pick him. You know, that's an all-time move. I mean, he deserves a statue. If you told me they put Ted Thompson at Lambeau, his name up on, like, I would say, yeah, he deserves that. Obviously, Rodgers as well.
And Favre. They got a lot of statue guys.
Like, I'd say the difference between the Montana-Young thing is, like, Montana's better than Young. But if they had gone Montana to Young and it turned out Young had been better than Montana, all time.
This one went better than that one did. And that one was also just as messy as the Packers one was. The Niners one was actually even kind of messier. Because there was no clean cut. It was like Steve and then Joe and then an injured wrist and then back and then coaching change. And
yeah. Honestly, listening to the Steve Young book, it's kind of crazy how it went for like 4 years, the two of them.
It was.
It wouldn't happen today.
Le'Veon doesn't want to play for Andy John. He'd rather retire. Just FYI.
Yeah, Le'Veon. That's what I've got some DMs like, Middlecoff, what's your opinion?
I've been tagged in a few tweets like, I can't wait to hear John's getting a bit hot on this one. It's like, I almost said it. I'm like, we'll talk about it later. My take on your take was going to be, you're going to dismiss Le'Veon like everyone else is going to dismiss Le'Veon in this case.
I'll defend him on this. If I had sat out a year and was 14.7, I think maybe it was $13.7 million poorer, I had lost, I would never think the same about life again. Especially in a situation where...
And I would trust nobody if I had taken somebody's advice to do that.
Yeah, it's not like his career is over now. Like, it was clear even when he was like, he's just slower. He sucks. He ended up making $14 million less. Like, that money's just gone. And there is not like, well, he just got 7 more years. Like, it's done. I feel... Ultimately, it's on him. Like, I'm a big believer. Like, he made the decision. I don't care what agent told him. He chose to sit out because, remember, he was on the Steelers. The second franchise tag, never recovered.
He was coming off a year in which he was 10th in the league in catches when he held out or when he didn't play. 85 catches, over 6 catches a game in 2016. He had more catches that year. He had 2 more catches than Travis Kelce that year. Now, he had, you know, Kelce had over 1,000 yards receiving, and Le'Veon had like 650. So he probably thought, I'm going to get to Kansas City and I'm going to be catching the ball 8 times a game and it's going to be incredible. And then he has 13 catches in 9 games. I think it was him.
But he
you
had
and
just
I talked
been on
about.
The Jets though, guy, and been terrible.
Yeah, well, I know.
Remember they cut him.
But we talked about this at the time. I'm pretty sure it was him. Like, okay, you played for Gase. If you suck for Adam Gase, people go, maybe it was Adam Gase. You go play for Andy, that can go one of two ways. It can be really good for your career, but if it doesn't work, you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt that you just played for a bad coach. If it doesn't work with Andy Reid, if Andy Reid can't figure out a way to use you, it's going to be a reflection of you, right? Like, this is why Darnold had some attentions. It's like, well, okay, he played for Gase. Maybe it's not Sam's fault. There was a little bit of that with Le'Veon. Well, maybe it's not Le'Veon. Maybe it's the Jets. Well, it's Le'Veon.
Yeah, I think he's an untouchable player now.
So he already took one personal stand. Like, I'm not going to play for that money. And now is he going to retire and for the rest of his life say it's because he refused to play for Andy Reid? Because that'd be an 0-2.
Yeah, Le'Veon, he was one of my favorite players in the league in the peak of his powers. Now, part of it, remember, his leg got shattered, and he got a DUI where he got pulled over on the way to the team jet getting high with LeGarrette Blount. So it's like...
They put LeGarrette Le'Veon on the plane, didn't they?
Yeah, because he was in the passenger seat. But Le'Veon, I think, had to go to the old pokey because he was in, behind the steering wheel. But it's like, Le'Veon, you had some red flags, and they were paying you... The two franchise tag years were like $11 million, $14 million, added up to like basically the contract he got from the Jets. He could have had back-to-back, you know, instead of having $27 million from the Jets, he could have had double, he could have had like $55 million total. Mm. Instead, I think he ended up with about 40. So he ended up $15 million poorer than he would have been. I don't care who you are, it would be hard for me to sleep at night. It's a lot of money, guy.
Are you going to be able to sleep at night? I've been waiting. You told me I haven't been able to hear this. You had a run-in at the gym today. You're saving it for the air, so let's hear it.
Just personally, I've really worked on being a better thinking about others. No shot to the media profession. I do think it can be a little selfish, just the nature of the business. It's like just kind of you or your own entity, right? And it's just, just the bubble we live in. It's all about yourself and our takes and just everything. So I over the last year, think about others, do things for others. Luckily, you have a wife, and I think it helps just, people just balance you out, be a better human. So you can't always just think about yourself. So I go to the gym today, get a little workout, and I usually, when I go during the week, I can go at weird times. I don't have to go rush hour at 7 a.m. or at 5 o'clock. I can just roll at 10 or 9 or 3. So no one's ever there. So I use this one bench press, but I don't actually use the bench press. I just use the bench, and I do like a set. I'm there for like 30 minutes, but no one has ever said anything to me. I don't even think. I just probably bench presses on the other side, right? This guy today asked me. I'd been there for 5 minutes, maybe 10. Like, hey, are you using this bench? I'm like, yeah. But I wasn't actually using the bench. I was just using everything around it. Like, I have a couple things laying around.
You're saying you're doing curls while you sit on it or that kind of
thing?
Yeah. Gotcha.
No, I have a couple free weights there. I have a big 45 that I do some sides with. And then I have this little rotation. I do some abs. I just use the bench. But I'm not actually using the bar the whole time. Really, the whole thing, if I'm there 30 minutes, I use the bar for like 5 minutes. So if you're just watching me a lot of time, you're like, what the? He could do that anywhere. But that's where I go. I'm a creature of habit. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. This guy's arms are Dwayne Johnson level big. I've never seen this guy at the gym before. He easily has the biggest arms I've ever seen. I mean, he is a big dude, way bigger than me. I mean, obviously bigger than me, but I mean probably 6'2", 6'3", arms enormous, cut-off shirt, tat on one side, big motherfucker. I'm like, yeah, I'm using it, but it wasn't contentious or anything. Probably about 20 minutes later, there's another machine by it, and he's on it. And then I'm doing my thing, and I see him kind of walk right up to me and just stand. I'm like, what's going on here? And he takes off his headphones and he's like, hey, bro, when the gym's this packed, how about be considerate? And if you ain't going to use that, let someone else fucking use it. And he was kind of aggressive, but this guy, lifting, you can tell, is a big deal for this guy. It'd be like someone screwing up our podcast, right? This is lifting for me. It's just, I think I'm supposed to do it to stay healthy, whatever. I don't know. I just do what I do. You know?
He might be a pro. He might be a pro bodybuilder or something, you're saying.
100%. And he kind of went on. But your natural reaction when someone kind of calls you out is to be like, bro, you want to use it now? Like, come on, what do you mean? This is gym. There are not other benches in here? So my natural reaction is to attack back. But you kind of, like a little dog bark loud. You just kind of get lit. And he was pissed. And I'm like, you want to use it right now? He's like, no, I don't. And then he kind of walks away. And then I started thinking, I was kind of a dick, right? I was in the wrong. But then
Which time were you a dick? In your response or when you said you're using it? Initially,
probably my response. I'm like, yeah, I was out. You know, I should have let you use it. But I attacked back.
Right.
Like I was kind of an asshole back. Right. And I saw him around. I was going to go up. Hey, man, my bad. I didn't realize there were that many people. I wasn't trying to be an asshole or whatever. And then do like a fist bump. But I kept thinking, if he doesn't go fist bump, then I'm the fucking overall loser. Like, I just went to try to kiss his ass, and he big-timed me, and I just, in the alpha contest, he just quadruple alphas me. So I kind of just was keep walking by him, kind of just keep looking, just trying to act like his equal. But it was just, I mean, this guy, he wasn't that, I mean, he never, like got that close to me, but if
he got aggressive,
I would have been fucked. He was huge.
As Cedric the Entertainer would say, he wished a motherfucker would.
Yeah. But this guy was so much bigger than me, I don't even think he thought for one second I would even think of doing anything. Yeah. So he was not threat. I kind of immediately play the little dog role where you just get loud. Like, what do you want, fucking bro? Use this shit. I'll wipe this shit down for you right now, man. But it was an awkward interaction on my part.
I mean,
and ultimately, this guy just wanted to bench. I don't know, because he benches.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Look, I mean, I appreciate the introspection. I don't think, like most situations in life, it's usually not one person's 100% right and one person's 100% wrong. Most things, as much as a cop-out as this is to say, I think a lot of times stuff is just kind of a miscommunication feels like too general of a word. But, like, you didn't quite understand what he was asking when he asked. He was saying to you, hey, man, there's no other benches. Can I bench press here?
No, he didn't say there's no other benches. He said, are you?
No, I understand, but I'm saying what he was in his mind, he's like, there's nowhere for me to work out. This is the only place. This guy's only using it for, you know, 30% of the time that it's available to him.
When
I'm just saying, like, I think most
things like this. I peeked around the corner. He had taken a bench from the free weight section, put it on the squat rack, and used it as a bench. So I think he was pretty pissed that he had to, like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, to me, an example is like,
I squatted on a sweet area for longer than I should.
Okay, but you know, you got there.
I was there first.
To me, this is this happens a lot, I think, especially now.
Hey, get there at 9. I was there at 9:45 on Saturday morning. You got there at 10:30. I beat you.
Let me give you an example. Especially now,
you can't.
Can I give you an example?
You can't always be consumed.
But this is my point. There, especially now, a lot of people are picking up food. A lot of people are picking up food for other people in terms of food pickup services. There's a lot of parking spaces that have been taken away because of parklets. Have you ever been in a car in the parking spot and you're in the car because you're on the phone, but you're getting your GPS, or maybe you got to make a call, or you don't need to be to the next spot for 20 minutes and you don't want to drive around, so you're just sitting in your car. If you're the person in the car, you're like, this is my spot. I'm just sitting in the car here doing what I do until I leave. If you're the person who's been circling for 8 minutes, you're like, what is this asshole doing? Don't you see me sitting here? Like, get out of your car. You're done with the spot. I don't know what you're doing in there. And, you know, if they start honking, you're like, screw you. I'm in the spot. But if you're them, you're like, what are you doing? Get out of the spot. Even though I have no idea what you're doing there. For all I know, you're waiting for grandma. I don't know what you're doing. But in both cases, everybody thinks the other person's the asshole. And, you know, you're probably both like 50% right. But I think that's most situations. It's like no one's 100% the jerk. No one's 100% innocent. Often we're judging other people without really having time to interact and actually talk about what it is we're each trying to accomplish. And so, yeah, I think that's very big of you. A little understanding for his mindset. But I think he should take a moment and go, you know, this guy doesn't. He's not using the bench the way I use the bench, but he's using the bench. Like, if I'm on the bench, he can't use it the way he wants to use it.
Well, but there are several other free benches that I easily could have done all my shit around.
That didn't have a bar on it.
Yeah,
so
and he knows
that.
So to
me, his second move should be, hey, man, if you're not going to use it for full bench press, do you mind if you use one of those benches over there? And just kind of, and then you would both understand where you're each coming from. But you're not solving any problems acting like that.
Well, here's the problem at a gym. Is like, if you just go to a golf course, everyone for the most part is there doing the same thing, like having a good time playing golf, like a public golf course, right? Now, if you go to a tournament, PGA, the Torrey Pines, everyone's going to be serious. At a gym, you got a lot of people with a lot of different agendas. Some people are just there because their wife forced them to be there. Another guy's there because he's trying to stay in shape. Another guy's there like this dude who's trying to be the biggest motherfucker in Contra Costa County history, right? So we're not all there for the same thing. Like, I'm not thinking like you. I was trying to be a good guy because ultimately I did squat on the what turns out to be the only. But I don't know. I ain't benching. I just assume, like most gyms, there's seven other benches. I should go down to the front desk. Like, hey, guys, Hey, this six feet space is fucking over. Get some more benches up here so my man Dwayne Johnson Jr. can bench. I like using this. Because the difference between the car analogy is while we share the roads with each other, it's mainly like don't hit each other. You know,
Everyone else is always the
asshole. You're all sharing the.
Yeah, you're right.
I know.
The real question is what happens when you get to that bench first next time and then you see him roll in? If you were boys, you'd be like, oh, you know what? Just saw you. Let me grab this other bench. This way we can both work out at the same time. Is that what you would do if the situation arises again and there's another opportunity for you? But you don't want to just totally, you know.
You know, here would be an easy way to like become friendly with the guy. Like, hey, man, I squatted on your bench. Could you give me some tips on the arms? Because ultimately the guy was just very serious. Sometimes the big guys, one thing you notice, like I'm looking in the mirror. I don't do long stares. So like, God, I'm not looking. I'm looking a little fat. Those guys stare, right? Because they're just like looking at their muscles.
You're studying and there's a lot of muscles to stare at. Like I can do it. I just look at the one. There's one. There's no definition. I know what's there, right?
Now, they're checking. In full disclosure, I would say the last 3 months, I've had three different run-ins. Once, an older guy, and then this guy. Well, all for different various things.
Let me think about a dog walks down the street and ends up barking at a lot of other dogs. It's just, you interact with enough people post-quarantine, bound to happen.
This was the one regarding like working out. The other two were, corona protocols.
Move is if you see him again, you're like, hey, man, I think we had a miscommunication the other day. And he would say, I don't think we did not have a miscommunication. And then you're like, oh, I can't.
That's why I refused to go up there and be like, hey, man. Wasn't trying to be an asshole there. Fuck, good.
Yeah, most of us are in our own worlds.
The interactions you have, John, you don't really
process until later. But you didn't want to get left hanging, I understand.
No.
Better than getting punched.
I know, it's like you tried to be a good guy. And sometimes she just doesn't even work. What's the point? Just be an asshole.
Just karma. You hope. Maybe that's a karma, whether it's real or not, it's good to think it is because maybe you do something better than you would have otherwise.
Yeah.
Share this podcast with your friends. We appreciate that.
Yeah, do it now.
You should go up to him and be like, hey, man, maybe you could get his address from the front desk and send him some wine or something. Bring it full circle.
I thought I had this other older enemy in there. Now he just walks by me and doesn't even acknowledge. So I we had a moment. I've had some run it.
A complicated fella around the gym. That middle golf. A complicated fella.
I am a complicated fella. I ruffle feathers in this area. I don't know why.
All right. On that note, thanks for hanging, everybody. Have a great week.
Peace.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.